Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Every year, the Hunger and Homeless Coalition of Collier County conducts what's called a point-in-time count to get a snapshot of the number of people in the county who are facing homelessness. We did a show last month looking broadly at the latest numbers in both Collier and Lee counties, and one thing that came out of that conversation was the fact that Collier had added a new category to its 2018 count, the number of senior citizens who had nowhere to live. After that show, my next guest followed up and said we should dig deeper into the aspects of the situation in Collier County, so that's what we're doing today. Christine Welton is the executive director of the Hunger and Homeless Coalition of Collier County. Christine, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to join our conversation, you're always invited to join in by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So tell me who we're talking about when we talk about homeless seniors. Are these people that are staying with relatives because they can't keep up their own home, or who are these folks?
Most of the seniors that I've been coming in contact with are actually homeless. So they're either in the shelter, living in their cars, or we're having to relocate them to somewhere else, maybe if they have family or what have you. And these are – what I would consider a senior is anyone 60 or older.
Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, is this in a new trend, or is this uptick something that we're just seeing here recently?
It's been increasing. Honestly, probably in the last 2 years, I've showed a significance in the numbers, which is why I created the subpopulation this year, because it was pretty significant. When we did the PIT count, I think we had 59 people that day that were actually homeless in that 24-hour count, which is a pretty significant number.
When you do that point-in-time thing, we were talking about it last time, it's maybe not always a super accurate accounting. This is a number of people that show up for the count, basically.
Correct. So if it's 59, the number is probably more in the line of three times that.
Okay.
For actual numbers.
And I'm wondering, what do you think is to blame for this kind of uptick? I mean, is it because of poor retirement planning, post-recession economic crises, a lack of affordable housing? Do all
of
those things
factors
conspire together? Or do we just have more people that are reaching the senior threshold, that age?
No, I think, what I'm seeing, the people that I'm having to try to rehouse or find a place for have either gone through their retirement because they didn't save enough. They thought they had, but they didn't. And maybe a spouse or someone got sick, so they went through their retirement pretty quickly. The other thing is they lose a spouse. And so then now there goes that Social Security income. So, you know, you can only get one, which is the higher of the two. And that's if you're married, because I'm also seeing couples that are together for 20 plus years but never got married. So that mostly it happens to women. They don't have access to that higher Social Security that a man would normally have.
Florida is one of the states that does not have common law marriage, right?
Correct. I mean, you can sometimes you can try to go for the 10-year common law. It's pretty hard to access, though.
Yeah.
I mean, try to get, you know, through, actually.
So it seems like a lot of it has to do with planning for
retirement. Yeah.
But then those medical bills can come, especially when you're older and especially when your regular insurance isn't around.
Exactly. I mean, it's a combination of a lot of factors. We definitely seen the numbers this year in 2018 go post Irma that, you know, when I was at the shelter right after, within the last week or two of the storm, I housed three seniors straight from the shelter to, you know, somewhere, whether it was another state. I found some housing in another county, and then somebody actually went to another part of the state. Uh-huh. So, that's when I housed six families after the storm, and half of them were seniors. So that's pretty significant.
Were they seniors who had owned their homes, or were they in
rentals? They were renting.
How can mental and physical illness factor into this?
It's definitely a factor.
Especially for older people.
It's definitely a factor. Because, you know, as they're aging, their capacity is not, you know, what it should. So a lot of times, and especially this particular generation, they're a very proud generation. So they don't want to ask for help. As they're aging, they're seeing, you know, their different faculties and things diminish, and they're not going out and asking for the assistance that they need, where then potentially they would might get like case management or kind of get noticed so that they could potentially have gotten help before they become homeless. You know what I mean? If they reach out for someone and then like someone starts to help them with maybe some in-home services or some simple things, then there's somebody overseeing and watching them every day. But if they're not doing that and they're not reaching out for help, they're getting to them when it's too late. They're already in crisis mode.
Yeah, they're already way behind on their rent and there's no making that up. And
yes. And sometimes we can. We, you know, because
yeah,
I do try to,
about that.
I do try to help, and that's a lot of what I do is prevention. But at the same time, what caused them to get behind most of the time is they don't have the money to maintain. So even if I can get them caught up, their Social Security a lot of times is $100 to $200 less than what their actual rent is. Mm-hmm. You're never going to be able to sustain that.
Yeah, we just got done talking about substance abuse with older people. Do you see a lot of that taking a toll on people?
I have not seen that correlation yet.
With the homelessness situation?
No, I haven't. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, with seniors in general, they're taking lots of different kinds of medications and things, much like they were saying today in the conversation we're having with them. So it could be a factor. It's just not
as obvious.
As obvious, obviously, because they're seniors and most elderly are already taking, you know, medications, and it's just kind of what they do. So maybe mm-hmm. it's not something that's really been paid attention to. It's mm-hmm. definitely something that I'm going to look at more closely now as I go forward.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. What kind of resources do you need when you have seniors that are homeless? I mean, what kind of needs do they have in a shelter situation that may be different from others?
Well, it's actually very difficult to for a senior in the shelter, because the whole in Collier County we have St. Matt's House, and you know the whole concept of coming into St. Matt's is providing those wraparound services for employment. You know, getting back integrated back into the community via whatever it is, if you have substance abuse issues, mental incapacity, whatever it is, they help you with all those things to access those services while you're staying at the shelter. But with seniors, it's you can't, you know.
You're not doing job placement for someone
exactly,
who's 70.
Exactly, yeah. It's just not an option. So it kind of doesn't really go with the whole concept of what the shelter tries to do.
Yeah, the shelter's set up to get people back on their feet, get them back into the workforce, get them earning more money, things like that. But when you're dealing with a senior, I mean, I'm not saying that not all seniors can get out there and do something, but I mean, they're not in the middle of their career.
Yeah, they don't have the capacity to really increase their income, you know, to the levels that they need to maintain what the cost of living is now.
So what do you do? What do they do? Do they have to relocate somewhere completely different?
Usually.
That's what you said you had to do with a few people.
Most of the time, usually. I mean, especially in there is no subsidized – I mean, no, let me rephrase that. There is a very small amount of subsidized housing for seniors, and the waiting list I think is about 3 to 4 years long right now. And that would be Goodlett Arms in Naples. So – you know, obviously that's not an option. So we would have to look other places in usually Lee County, Charlotte. We've even gone out, you know, farther than that in other counties, Henry Glades, to see if there's any subsidized senior housing available at the time to get them placed there. But they're having to completely relocate their whole life. New doctors.
Yeah, new everything. Hard enough for anybody, no matter how old you are. But if you're a senior, it's even harder. I mean, it's hard for anybody. Is there any possibility of additional subsidized senior housing coming to Collier County?
I hope so. That's definitely one of the things that I'm going to – that's in my –
That's in your to-do file?
Yeah, my very big to-do file.
To campaign for.
But it's probably number one or two. It's definitely I'm researching options right now to go after some subsidized housing. It's also something that I think – in Collier County, we'll have a little bit more political will for, because it's not going to be, you know, your traditional Section 8 housing or what have you. It's for seniors, which is it'll be nice. It'll be safe. It won't have that stigmatism to it.
Yeah. And then so the seniors who you're dealing with every day now, what kind of people are these? Are these people who had a career, came down here, retired, and they ended up in an apartment that the rates just continued to rise and they got priced out of it? Or is it?
Most of them. I mean, that's usually some of them. Actually, the seniors that I'm dealing with have been kind of born and raised in Naples.
Okay.
And through the year, you know, or some of them, you figure with the age, they could have retired in Naples in the 70s and or even in the 80s. And the cost of living was different. I mean, it was always a little bit higher still, but it was a lot different than it is today.
And yeah, like maybe somebody came down here and retired in 1989. With a certain fixed income, that income didn't change, but the cost of living here really did.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest issue that we see, yeah.
I would think that while being without a place to call home is difficult for anybody, the challenges of going through it as a senior citizen have to be even harder. Tell me, do you have any stories of people, of things that they're dealing with out there, the seniors that you've dealt with, that you've come into contact with? What kind of things are they having to grapple with as they're out there on their own?
Recently, last week, we housed a senior, and he had been living in his car for 6 months or more. Actually, I think it was actually more. But he was a veteran, so we actually were able to access some veteran services for him. And
veteran from what war? From Vietnam, probably.
Yes, it was Vietnam. Yes.
Wow.
No, so, actually, I don't. I think it might have because he was 87.
Oh, he would have been World War II.
Yeah. It was not Vietnam. I'm sorry. But,
wow. A World War II veteran living in his car for more than 6 months.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they came to me. Actually, the veteran outreach worker came to me and brought it to my attention. And I housed him in emergency hotel stay for a couple days because he had started to get run down. And, you know, he hadn't really slept well. He needed a shower, just needed a place. So I put him in emergency hotel stay for a week because with my funding, I can do that. That's all I can do is about 5 to 6 days. And then in that time, we worked together and we did find some housing in Lee County for him in a senior housing, which was a really good fit. So and he had pretty decent income, you know.
But it's hard to make that first and last month rent on an apartment when the rates are – like $1,000 for something tiny.
Yeah. And the rent that he got in Lee County was not bad, but it was over $2,000 to get him in. And, and that's what our agency paid with that gap fund that I was telling you about.
That gap fund, yeah, that we talked about last time you were on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me where people need to go if they're looking for help or if they know someone who's needing help in Collier County?
I mean, they can always call us. Also, you know, calling 211. Is, you know, they have
great way for information.
Yeah, they have all the resources as well. Our website, there's a, you know, we have all the resources for all the agencies as well as, you know, the information to contact 211. But 211 is probably the easiest way. And then they, you know, provide the referrals to the other agencies. But calling us is always, you know, works as well.
All right. Well, I want to say thank you for coming and being part of the show today. We've run out of time, but I really appreciate you coming back in and shining a little bit brighter light on this particular angle on that subject.
Okay. Thank you for
having
me. Thanks
so much. Christine Welton, she's the Executive Director of the Hunger and Homeless Coalition in Collier County. Our show today was produced by Mike Kinnairy, Rachel Iacovone, and myself. Our director is Mike Kinnairy. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.